Hi, from the Salvation Army, you're listening to Words of Life.
Welcome back to Words of Life. I am Chris, joined again by the other Chris.
Hey, hey.
Today we're starting a new series with our friend that we met last year, Natalie Runyon.
And joining Natalie is our favorite host, Bernie Dake.
So this year, the Salvation Army is focused on the topic of discipleship.
Yeah, it's really cool to see how this series came together. You were just scrolling through social media one day, right?
Yeah, and come to find out, Natalie had actually been working on a six-week discipleship course for women specifically. And so we reached out to her and asked if she would come on the show and talk about the topics that she touches on throughout this course.
So for the next 6 weeks, we're going to be talking about community, women in leadership, using our gifts, and much more.
People really withdrew from community out of fear.
Yeah.
And there is a very large piece of isolation still as a residual.
Hey, welcome back to Words of Life. I am so excited because we have a friend coming back to visit us. If you've been listening for a while, even through last year, you might have met Natalie Runyon. Welcome back.
It's so good to be back with you guys.
We are happy that you're here. Since you've been here, you've released the book officially, Raised to Stay. You've sold 1 billion copies or so. I mean, it just looks like it's going gangbusters. Is that true?
It is. And honestly, it is because of the Raised to Stay community and people like you guys who invited me in to talk about it and to share the message of a reconciled church and hope and healing. And so I'm just so grateful for the church really carrying this message of reconciliation and love.
It's something that impacted me deeply. Mm-hmm. Just the idea, if you're new to Natalie or you haven't heard her speak or seen her Instagram or read her book, what we discovered last year was that she's trying to encourage people to stay. And so she's got these groups called Stayers and these black boxes that were really just some inspiring quotes and sometimes some good exhortation. But I'm going to give Natalie the platform to just tell you a little more about Raised to Stay.
Yeah, I mean, Raised to Stay basically started because I wanted to quit. And I had been a pastor's kid, then went into full-time ministry. And when I was 40, I just had this moment where I thought, you know what? This is too hard. I don't want to keep doing this. I don't want to keep getting hurt. And it was in that of my own wanting to quit that the Lord gives me this phrase, just raised to stay. And I didn't even know what that meant.
Yeah.
I just knew I was really burdened by seeing my friends quit, watching some of my family walk away, not just from the church, but Jesus. Mm. And I started writing these black boxes with white writing basically every day on Instagram, just saying things to myself that I thought, if I can convince myself not to quit, maybe I can have a conversation with other people that would make them second guess.
Yeah.
And that's really where it started about 4 years ago. And so here we are now with a community of stayers of over 150,000 people.
Man.
Who are saying, look, I have every reason, and rightfully so, to leave churches that have hurt me, ministries that have hurt me, but I have one reason that I'm staying, and that's Jesus Christ.
Yeah, amen. And in that vein, what we hope to do today is draw people closer to Jesus through these conversations and let them see a bit of your heart and what he's giving you through your interaction in the Word and what you're seeing as you go out and speak and as you still participate in worship leading and all the things. Tell them, where are you based? Where can people find you? Let's get that out in the open, out front.
Yeah, I live in Kentucky. I spent some time in Colorado Springs, but just recently ended up back home in Cincinnati, Kentucky area with my family. I have a husband, Tony. We've been married 17 years.
Nice.
Two daughters who are 11 and 15. So don't ask me about parenting because right. I'm still in the throes of this myself.
Sure.
Raising my own stayers in a lot of ways. And yeah, we're just there. We're going to local churches. And it's interesting when I go into churches, you see a little bit of nervous. Like you can tell the pastors are like, uh-oh, Raised to Stay is here. It's almost like a food critic coming in to eat the restaurant's food. Like they're a little bit afraid. But I have been so encouraged by what I'm seeing in local churches, not just in my hometown, but around the world. And I want to just tell everybody, the church is good. The church is doing good things. And I get to be a front row witness to that everywhere I go.
Amen. Amen. even as we speak today, and I don't want to surprise our producer because I didn't ask for permission to say this, I'm encouraged at the idea of not being alone. And even just last night, I'm seeing videos from Marky Mark. Mark Wahlberg is trying to encourage people with a gospel message that Jesus has never left us or forsaken us. We're never alone. And in the same way, you're talking about community in your own small group. And I want to get into that. I want to dig in this week about community and what you're bringing or hearing from the Lord about that topic.
Community is a vital part of our walk with the Lord and being part of the family of God. Jesus was in community with his 12 disciples. Mm-hmm. You see it throughout the scriptures where people were together. There was a koinonia. There was this unity. There was this relationship that people had as they came into contact with Jesus. There were crowds. People were together. And then you see the discipleship piece of community through the scriptures. You see even some division and some arguing amongst the people in community. And Paul being honest, like, hey, this thing's going to be hard if you choose to be part of the community that is, carrying this gospel. So community comes with all of this beauty, but also a brutal truth that if we love something, it can hurt us. And I think this past couple of years with COVID, people really withdrew from community out of fear.
Yeah.
And there is a very large piece of isolation still as a residual of this COVID thing that we all faced and walked through together. And I believe we are all starting to kind of come out from under our rocks and we're looking for people.
One of the things that community affords us is accountability. I love that. People that can come around us with empathy when things are just out of our control and going wrong. And I was sharing with you earlier that my favorite scripture verse is found in Proverbs 27:17. And it says, just as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another, so one human sharpens another. There's a quote that you made that impacted me deeply. And you'll have to forgive me because I want to read it so I don't misquote you. But a church who values discipleship over performance will produce disciples, not performers. And to me, the model of disciples and Jesus were a cool community of people that were doing life together. I mean, Jesus was washing their feet and trying to teach them lessons that they could go and make other disciples. I mean, am I barking up the wrong tree in that regard, or is this something completely foreign to the world today?
Well, I think we love to have fun with our friends. You know, we want to go get food and we want to go see movies, but then we get into this very intimate place of community where now we're getting into each other's business.
Yeah.
And now it's, you know, we're especially in biblical community, we are called to hold each other to accountability, to hold each other to this, you know, being set apart as brothers and sisters in Christ. And so there is a level of community that I think a lot of us keep at an arm's distance to say, well, we can have fun, but I don't want you getting into my business. Mm. Whereas biblical community does invite that when we've earned that right to ask the hard questions about what we're watching and how our marriages are and things like that about addiction. And so when we are discipling people, we are raising up disciples. But if all we're doing is looking for performance, then we can have performers who lack discipline, who lack discipleship. And that's where we see high turnover in community, but also on church staff and in ministry organizations.
Yeah. So for us, as part of the Salvation Army, we have what we call the Southern Territory, right? It's these 15 Southeastern United States. And the people that lead us are Kelly and Donna Eigelhart. We call them commissioners. That's a rank because of the way that the Salvation Army is set up. But one of the things that they believe that the Lord has led them to communicate to each of us is to consider this idea. First of all, what we do is all for Jesus. There can be no question. And we want to do that by being loving, serving, and discipling. We have the territorial priorities, love, serve, disciple. And this year specifically, they're asking us to disciple. And I think this is what I get as a stayer, as someone who follows Natalie on her Instagram. You can find it at Raised to Stay. But the idea of discipling to me is always best in community, in my opinion, because you trusting those people, you're empowering them to speak into your life. And sometimes that can be hard.
It can. And there has to be relational equity there. You know, we can't just go into a church and just start pouring our hearts out to perfect strangers, which is why longevity in a local church body is really valuable so that you have time to establish those relationships so that by the time you enter a small group or you find someone that you think, wow, I really admire their life. I'd love for them to sit me down over coffee and just pour into me. There has to be some relational equity there to earn that right to not just to speak life over us, but to also correct. And I think that part of discipleship is knowing how to correct in love and in encouragement, that it doesn't hurt as bad when we're corrected. And you and I have both probably been corrected incorrectly where it hurt more than it helped.
Yeah.
And so I think that I always say, you know, accountability isn't church hurt, but there is a way that it can become church hurt if that accountability isn't done with truth, humility, and love. And so as leaders, as people discipling, the way we hold people accountable in community is just as important as the way that we pastor them and preach to them. We want them to know they're safe, even in their correction.
Okay, so in the spirit of community, you have developed a discipleship course, and we want you to tell us something about that because that will give us, in a sense, a call to action.
Well, social media has created kind of a pseudo community. You feel like you're connected, but you're really not. And that's something that I hear from Christians all the time. Like, I see your post, I see your content. I would love to just have more time, like to unpack that. So what I did is I created a 6-week course. This one was just for women. And we got together every Monday evening for 2 hours. And I brought in other women who are content creators in the ministry world, other authors. And we just encouraged each other. We had different topics. And from there, women then were able to ask questions and get to know each other. They're exchanging emails and phone numbers. They're finding out where each other lives. They're meeting at conferences. And it kind of opened up this pseudo community that felt like family to now they really were a community. And we had 85 women signed up for this.
Wow.
And they came ready to learn, ready to grow. They cried. They were vulnerable. They were putting their kids to bed while they're listening. They're, you know, making dinner. We were all in time zones. We had people from Ireland. We had people coming from all over the world to be part of this. And it's because we're hungry to be seen and to be heard and to feel like we're part of something.
Yeah. Natalie, if there's one way we can find you, some way we could share with our listeners how they could find out about these resources, what would you tell them?
Just go over to Instagram to Raise to Stay and also on Facebook. We have multiple groups that are private, some are public, and it's just an opportunity for everyone to connect and just to realize, hey, we're not alone. And then you can find the book wherever books are sold.
Awesome. Well, thank you for joining us. We cannot wait. Stick around for next week because we've got Natalie for several weeks coming. God bless you.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Ed Escobar, one of the voices for the Salvation Army's Heartbeat. Heartbeat is a one-minute show about everyday life, ranging in topics from finances and prayer to dating and mental health. Heartbeat is a great way to unplug for a minute and bring your focus back to God. If you're looking for a quick message to challenge you and brighten up your day, listen to Heartbeat on your favorite podcast store or visit salvationarmysoundcast.org.
The Salvation Army's mission, doing the most good, means helping people with material and spiritual needs. You become a part of this mission every time you give to the Salvation Army. Visit salvationarmyusa.org to offer your support. You can subscribe to Words of Life on your favorite podcast store or visit salvationarmysoundcast.org. Join us next time for the Salvation Army's Words of Life.